Dior Talks. Welcome to the Dior Talks podcast series dedicated to the 8th edition of Dior Lady Art, hosted by Paris-based journalist Katia Foreman. For this highly anticipated edition, 12 artists from around the world were invited to transform the iconic Lady Dior handbag into a unique work of art. In this latest episode, we plunge into the esoteric, cosmic universe of Mariko Mori. Operating in another realm spanning the past, present and future, the internationally acclaimed Japanese artist, through her futuristic, multidisciplinary works, blurs the lines between art and technology, exploring themes including life, death and rebirth, prehistory, the cosmos and spirituality. The Dior Lady Art, Mori used her signature dichroic vacuum deposition and lenticular techniques to take the iconic Lady Dior handbag into a new dimension, harnessing her mastery of light, which she describes as an inner source for all living things, seemingly inhabited by light, which shifts as the bag is moved. The first of the three bags features an inner landscape inspired by the Alaya, the eighth consciousness in Buddhism. The second, in a small format, celebrates Dior heritage through an emblematic white bow made from an innovative fabric that lights up in an array of select colours in a crafted sequence. The final design, with its compact Minaudière dimensions, resembles a rainbow-coloured bubble, evoking a space-time capsule on which the O of the D-I-O-R charms is transformed into a model of the artist's monumental sculptural installation, Ring One with Nature. As a final surprise, the bag's interiors are dressed in a unique shade of delicate pink, heightening the bag's feminine essence. Tune in to the episode to learn more about the artist's fascinating world. Today on the Dior Talk series dedicated to the 8th edition of Dior Lady Art, we connect with the visionary Japanese artist Mariko Mori to hear about the techniques and inspirations behind her three Lady Dior creations, blurring the boundaries of art and technology. Mariko, welcome to the Dior Lady Art podcast. Where are you calling in from today?
From Tokyo, Japan.
Right. And where do you tend to be based? Do you tend to move around quite a lot?
Well, half of a year I spend time in New York. And then I try to spend as much as I can in Miyako Island of Okinawa, Japan. Tokyo, it's kind of between.
Oh, well, could you talk to us some more about Yupitera, the amazing studio space that you had built on the coast of Miyako Island?
Well, it was my dream for a long time, over 15 years, and that I wish to have a place I can contemplate, but in front of nature and surrounded by nature, where I wanted to feel the rhythm of the nature, specifically the ocean, and to really feel the energy and kind of have feeling of oneness with the nature. That's the kind of the place I wish to have. I used to make drawings in a very similar setting at my friend's house in Okinawa Island for 14 years, every summer. But the house was no longer available, so therefore I designed my own studio house to have the place to kind of make drawings.
And the house is quite remote, right?
Yes, it is in Miyako Island of Okinawa. It looks very remote, but it's only a couple hours flight from Tokyo. But the site surrounded by a tropical ocean, which has many beautiful corals and really deep layer of different color, blue, and blue greens. And I felt that it's especially under the sea, it's full of energy of nature, but it's very pristine and beautiful sea culture.
And Mariko, how do you like to explore nature and spirituality in your work?
Yes, I formed a non-profit organization called Fao Foundation in 2010. And what we do is produce site-specific installation per continent to honor nature. The first one we installed called Sampila to honor ocean that we installed in Miyako Island of Okinawa. The second one we installed on the top of the waterfall in 2016 during the Rio Olympic. It's a permanent installation, and both of them are aligned with the winter solstice sun. So the work is to honor nature and to really symbolize our connection with nature. I believe that our spirituality is developed through nature, and we are not only part of nature, but we are nature. So I wanted to dedicate the work to honor nature.
In your work, there's also this blurring of art and technology. Could you tell us a bit about your background and how you got into art? I believe your mother is an art historian and your late father was an engineer and inventor.
Yes, both of my parents are professors at university, and my mother particularly researched Peter Bruegel, Northern Renaissance painter. And my father was a professor also and engineer, and invented like a light transmitting device in 70s. So I was exposed to art since I was very little, but it was kind of very traditional Western art and Renaissance time. But paintings and art was there in everyday life. And my father's side, he used to use a supercomputer in Japan in 70s when only two big supercomputers existed in Japan.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, yes. Yeah. So how times changed. But he was very fond of utilizing technology and using the science to create some vision that he wished to express, which were really something that I admired. So I truly feel that I have influenced by both my parents.
And are there any rituals that you do, such as meditation, that influence your work?
I do sometimes do a performance during the winter solstice or related to nature or honor nature. But for my everyday life, I do meditate. But sometimes also I host tea ceremony, and then in the morning, 11th century style calligraphy.
That's so inspiring. It's a world away from Avenue Montaigne. So how was it for you being invited to collaborate on this series? I believe you were also a fashion designer at one point and a model. What does the House of Dior symbolize for you?
Yes, the image of the House of Dior, it really represents the elegance. And when I have visited the exhibition of Dior, the design was that it's quite structural. So in a way that it's almost sculpture.
Yeah.
The dress, it was almost like a sculpture. But at the same time, it's very feminine and really embracing and kind of representing a beauty of femininity. It's kind of like a dream in a way that I admire the vision very much. it's something like a futuristic too, but every time the kind of representing the ideal, the female figure, it feels like reflecting with the time.
So the starting point for your bag, did you want to try and capture that essence?
Yes. I thought that the ribbon was the form which were continuously utilized since beginning of the House of Dior, and some designer honored those form and continued. So I wanted to honor that. And the form of ribbon, it seems to be representing the femininity and also elegance, and same time is cute and sweet. And so, and then also sculptural forms, and the all in one. So therefore, one of the bag I designed to honor that form of ribbon.
I believe you created three bags in total. So this idea of this symbolic ribbon, could you tell us a bit about the white bag that is wrapped in a bow?
Yes. So this bag is using the fabric made out of optical fiber so that the color of light changes. When it doesn't lit, it's all white, but then when it lit, it's become like a pink and purple, blue and green, wow. So the color changes.
Incredible. Okay. And there are two other bags. There's the kind of Minaudière, the round bag. Can you tell us about that one? What's that one made of?
So the capsule bag, which is using a dichroic coating on the surface, and inside is a tiniest Lady Dior. The other bag has a graphic, which is kind of a computer graphic photographs, which were put it in the lenticular. So the lenticular give you the sensation of the movement, which are animated. So when you look at it, the one bubble, it's actually the capsule bag. This lenticular one, it's called Alaya. Alaya is eighth consciousness in Buddhist.
The graphic looks like a kind of sun energy.
Yes, yes. So this is my imagination of the Alaya consciousness level, which is the eighth deepest consciousness. Our mind see the world as you interpret it with your mind, but we only see partial of the reality. For example, in the universe, 96% of universe is all invisible. So our life, the consciousness that what we see may not be whole. It can be very partial. So the idea of a deeper consciousness and this world of Alaya that I imagine, it was all connected and it's oneness and is full of light. So this center is like a sun, but the light is a center, and then all around is the soul. So it's many, many, many of the soul that floating, and that's the each one radiate. And that's why you see the big light in the center. And when you see, it's going to be huge, huge light. Very, very bright light. So we are one of this capsule. Each one of us is like a bubble. We are all connected and we are all one. So this is the world that we don't see physically, but in a universe, we could see or we can feel. Once you're out of your ego, then you have a whole world. It's all connected and radiating, including yourself. So that's the world that I wanted to kind of visualize. And that's the image that I came up with, the Alaya. That's the bag with the lenticular.
Oh, wow. I love it. So this idea of reaching a higher state of consciousness, what do you want the person who eventually owns these bags to experience when they carry them and hold them and look at them?
Well, I believe that we must have memory of being connected and being oneness. So therefore, I hope when someone carry this bag, remind you of the memory of being oneness and being connected.
How did you create these pieces? Were you working with the Dior studio in Paris via Zoom or telephone, or did you come over to Paris?
The Dior team came to Miyako Island and talked about the production at the very first meeting. The second meeting was in New York, and third meeting was also in New York. We had, obviously, with the emails and so on, but we had physical meetings. And it was really kind of a delicate process because everything is very delicately produced, like producing a treasure. So it's a very kind of a meticulous craftsmanship. It's really carefully produced and it's a great collaboration with their team.
So there were a lot of back and forths with the prototypes to get them to the place that you wanted them to be. Were there any technical challenges?
Yes, the diacrylic coating part was quite challenging. I think this must be fourth test that we were able to finally get to the right color. It was a challenging, but I'm happy that the Dior team really honor artist's vision to really pursue to match to the vision that I originally had.
For you, was the process similar to when you're creating an artwork, would you say?
Yes, it is exactly the same, except, you know, that the form has to be bag, right? Because the art can be anything. So that restriction, it's different to the art. But same time, I kind of learn delicate process because it's something that has to be usable.
For you, are these objects very much bags or are they artworks?
Oh, they are artworks. But for example, the capsule, technically to execute the capsule was quite challenging. But it's because of their team, they were able to design with magnet and the very delicate mechanism and metal and all those kind of things that they were able to develop to visualize this dream. I would never able to do that, but because of their team, be able to produce something that it's practically also that functional.
And what would you say was your favorite part of this project?
I think, you know, it's always kind of like the nurturing the project to bring it to the life. The process is really the treasure. So it's like full of love from me and also from the Dior team. So it's kind of like contributing our love to the audience, I believe. And that's really the most precious experience that we had.
Mariko, can you sum up this experience in three words?
Fun and challenge and joyful adventure.
Thank you so much for your time. That was really magical. Thank you.